Hello and welcome to everyone listening to this episode of the Written to Melanin podcast. Wherever this day may have found you, we are glad that you're here. I'm CE Benson and I'm here with my co-host Ashley D. And today we are going to be talking to Michael Benjamin about his book, The Power of Yet. We are writers of color and we're here to talk about all things books and writing in the hopes of adding some melanin to your pages. So let's get started. All right. So, Michael, first of all, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on here. For those of you guys listening, this is actually our second encounter with Michael. He was supposed to be on the podcast earlier, but, you know, computer difficulties prevented that from happening. So we're determined to bring you guys Michael and his book. So this is our second take on this interview, but hopefully it'll be just as great as the first one. Yeah?
Definitely better.
Yeah.
Better. I like that. I like that. It's going to be better than the first one. So let's just sort of start with the, I guess, meat of the topic. Obviously, you are an author and you wrote The Power of Yet. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your book?
So my name is Michael Benjamin. I was born in Inglewood, California. If anyone out there is familiar with Inglewood, California, it's a really dangerous place with like a lot of gun violence, things of that nature. So I grew up there for about 3 years and then I moved out to a place called Riverside, California. And I spent a majority of my life there. I went to school at UC San Diego where I majored in chemical engineering. I graduated. And then what happened was I paid off my student loans, $30,000 plus in 1 year. And then I had a lot of people asking me how I did it. And because of the fact I was already writing stuff the summer before I started working and I always wanted to put a book out, I took the opportunity of a lot of people asking me, you know, how I paid off my student loans. I took the opportunity to do like a two birds, one stone thing. So that's why I decided to write The Power of Yet. And also, I paid off my student loans, I am a financial coach now. So I'm trying to help others do the same. So I coach, you know, people that come to me through word of mouth, people that come to me through seeing my stuff on social media. I've also been using this book to do speaking engagements. So I've been going different places doing speaking engagements, places like San Francisco, San Diego, Houston, Washington. So just different places, just trying to change the way people think. And my book is a little bit different because it's not, I feel like maybe the guests you guys have had in the past, they typically write like YA books, but mine is like a blend of YA and like personal help or self-help, whatever you want to call it. That's a little bit about me.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing. I definitely learned something because I didn't realize that you were like also doing the financial coaching thing. Like I knew that your book had the aspects of the financial literacy woven into it, but I didn't know that you were a financial coach as well. So that's actually really cool, which kind of makes me wonder, like, what made you take the jump from like chemical engineer to financial coach and author? That's kind of like two separate sides of the coin, you know?
Yeah. So basically, like I said, when I was in school, I majored in chemical engineering. And there's this society called NSBE, National Society of Black Engineers. Mm-hmm. If y'all listening are not familiar with it, Google it, get familiar with it. National Society of Black Engineers, NSBE. So at my school, I saw that the current president, you know, there was, let me not speak too much on this. So, okay, let me just say I became the president because I saw a problem in some stuff that was going on. Mm-hmm. And as I became president, I wanted to make a change because I saw that we weren't doing any outreach. And NSBE's whole mission is to increase the number of culturally responsible Black engineers who excel academically, succeed professionally, and positively impact the community. We were lacking the last part, positively impacting the community. So when I became president, I knew that I wanted to do outreach events. So what happened was, as I became president, we got in contact with a city in the inner city in San Diego. And pretty much contacting that lady, we were able to schedule an event for us to go and meet with the kids. And when I went that day, that was June of my senior year. When I went that day, we were giving presentations to the kids, and I was just seeing how their faces were lighting up, because we were talking about engineering, the different types of engineering. And we were, my idea of it, I was like, you know, how can we relate to these kids? So I related it to like Pokemon. So I was saying stuff like electrical engineering is like Pikachu, you know, that kind of thing. So the kids were really, the kids were really eating that up. And I just saw how their faces were lighting up. And then that really struck a light bulb in me. And I was thinking like, oh, I could really do, you know, speaking as like a thing, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, when I'm talking to these kids, their faces are lighting up, and it really made me feel good, because I know I'm making an impact in these kids' lives. Because, you know, I don't know what their home situation is. It was in a ghetto area. So, you know, they go home, maybe they have their both parents home, maybe not. So it's just good for them to see representation. And me as a chemical engineer, I had someone on the board as a electrical engineer. I had a girl as a computer scientist. So, you know, that stuff is really important. So because of that event and me becoming president of my Nesby chapter, that led me into speaking. And with speaking, I knew that I wanted to have a product out, like a book or something, that would allow me to, you know, have another branch. And that other branch was going to be financial coaching. So that's how I got from, you know, there to from A to point B or C, whatever you want to call it.
Gotcha. So yeah. I guess that kind of brings us to the point of, you decided to put out your book. So what exactly is your book about? Like, what is The Power of Yet?
So The Power of Yet is, before I even discuss the book, it is a principle. And The Power of Yet, it pretty much means that just because you can't do something today, it doesn't mean you can't do it. You just can't do it yet. It's a growth mindset term. And when we talk about growth mindset, this is something that's really important in the classrooms right now, like K-12. They're really putting it at the forefront. So that's why I'm doing these kind of speaking engagements and stuff, because it's what they talk about anyways. So basically, with growth mindset, there's the opposite of it, which is a fixed mindset. And a fixed mindset means that you think that your talents or skills are just where they are. So as a fifth grader, they might see their, you know, other students, and they might think like, oh, he's good in basketball, I'll never be good in basketball. Or they might think like, they'll see their classmate that's good at math or something, and they'll be like, I'll never be as good as him. But it's about embracing the power of yet, meaning that just because you're not good today, or just because you didn't do it today, doesn't mean you won't do it. You just haven't done it yet. So the principle, from what I know, these mindset principles were founded by Dr. Carol Dweck. I was pretty much doing research, trying to figure out what I wanted my speaking topic to be about. And then I stumbled across growth mindset. And then that was about how the book became. But that was just the background information. The Power of Yet, the book, like I said, it's a fiction and self-help book. So I like reading fiction books, you know, YAs, all that stuff, like, you know, Hey, You Give, Children of Blood and Bone, that kind of stuff. So I like that representation. And then I also read self-help books. So things like The Four Agreements. I don't know if your audience is just YA fiction. I don't know if they're too familiar with self-help stuff, but I think everyone knows Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. So those kind of books. So I like reading both kinds of books. So I was thinking, with The Power of Yet, I wanted to combine both the genres, because as a speaker, when people have books, they usually just make it self-help. So I wanted to stand out. And a book that was really influential in allowing me to be more comfortable in making it fiction and self-help was The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho, because it's a story and it's kind of, you know, self-help.
So I The love Power of Yet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that book is my favorite. But The Power of Yet, it's a fiction self-help book that follows the life of a young girl named Nia Akintowe. So she's a Nigerian-American, Nia Akintowe. And basically, Nia, she's on this journey to overcome all her fears and insecurities, most notably her fear of public speaking, which is interesting. So she's trying to go from a fixed mindset, like I said, where you think that you can't do something, to a growth mindset, where you know that you can grow and where you're at currently. Just because I can't do it today doesn't mean I can't do it. I just can't do it yet. So Nia is interesting because she's living in this fixed mindset. She's in a community college and she's trying to go to UCLA. And, you know, as someone that has all these different fears and insecurities, fear of public speaking, fear of belief in herself, she has this fixed mindset. So it's like, is she even going to get to that UCLA or even get to that stage or whatever? So I also like to highlight that mentorship is really important. If we go back to me doing my, you know, speaking engagements with the kids, that's a form of mentorship. Mm-hmm. And basically Nia, her father, is her mentor. And with the whole thing of mentorship, I have a theme in there that pretty much says that it's a quote. It says, if you're misguided and undecided, knowledge and wisdom can be provided. So what this means is, if you're misguided, you might, you know, not know where you want to go in life. You might be on the wrong path. If you're undecided, you still don't know what you're doing, but you're better than being misguided. You're undecided. Maybe you want to go left, but you should go right. You're on the right path, but you just need a little help. Knowledge and wisdom can be provided. Knowledge is the accumulation of information we get. So knowledge is all the stuff that Nia's father is telling her. You know, this is how you do this. These financial literacy principles. You can do this. The growth mindset is like this. The power yet is this. So that's knowledge. Wisdom. Wisdom can be provided. Wisdom is how do you apply that knowledge? Wisdom is how does Nia apply that knowledge? Will she apply it or will she just listen to information and not do anything like 99% of people? So if you're misguided and undecided, knowledge and wisdom can be provided. It also, besides mentorship and growth mindset, it also highlights financial literacy. Like I mentioned, I paid off my student loans in 1 year after I got out of college. So I was debt-free at 23, over 30,000 or whatever. And basically, with a lot of people asking me how I did that, I wanted to put the financial mindset in there. So if you want to look at it in this book, you can look at it as different mindsets. So there's financial mindset with the financial literacy game. There is growth mindset, obviously. And there's a little dash of leadership mindset because, you know, if we look at growth mindset as a big tree, leadership mindset is one of the branches of that tree. So there's just a lot of mindset principles in there. It's pretty jam-packed with a lot of information. And going with the financial information, like I said, he's just trying to coach Nia on the right mindset to have that I had when I paid off my loans. And that's why I've been trying to target it to like age 14 to 18. So like high school, early college, because I feel like if I had this mindset when I took out my student loans, I would have, you know, I would have been able to pay it off even quicker, even though, you know, paying it off the way I did was relatively quick. I just felt
paying it off in a year is kind of like
amazing.
Most people don't do that.
Right.
So
I've been out of college since 2011 and I still have my student loans. So
like mine are just deferred. That is a problem for a later day.
Yeah.
So I think it's amazing that you were able to do that, but not only the fact that you like improved yourself and accomplished that for yourself, but also that you went out of your way to, you know, be a mentor and to write a book about it so that you could share that with other people and not just keep it to yourself and be like, oh, ha ha ha, I was successful. So like, good luck, you know?
Yeah, no, it's not about that. Especially in our community, I definitely want to help people to look like me.
Yeah. And I honestly, that's why I love having you and like other authors similar to you on the podcast, because I love the mindset of it's not about just me. It's not just about being selfish and what I can do for myself. It's about helping other people who look like me, about helping my community, about, you know, still taking steps forward. So I applaud you for that, sir. For sure.
I appreciate it.
But one of the questions that I have for you is because you mentioned that you blended like YA with the self-help and the financial literacy. So it's not just like a straight up self-help book, but it's also not just straight up like a YA fiction book. So when you were combining those two things, it's just kind of like the question I have specifically because you said that your main character is Nia and she's a girl and she wants to be, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said a electrical engineer? Is what she's
called? Oh, no. She's an aspiring computer science major.
Computer science. Okay.
Yeah, computer science.
Okay. So, like, what made you decide to, I guess, take that route to make your main character a girl when obviously you're a man? And also, like, what was the biggest challenge that you faced while trying to, I guess, right outside of your own life perspective, but also like merging two genres that generally don't blend together very well?
Yeah. So I'll start with the first question. I think the fact that I made it a girl in Nia, I did that because when I look at things like engineering and just the space, it just goes back to representation. I know that Black women, especially in this space, especially in computer science, are marginalized. So I wanted to put that at the forefront to kind of empower it and show that, you know, it's possible, because there's this young Black girl, she's 17 years old. She has all of these problems, but at the end of the day, she's still aspiring to be somebody. And I didn't want it to be like, you know, we could only have a man that's, or a Black man that is the main character, because, you know, that would have been, that's more prevalent, even though Black men are still a minority in terms of computer science, but it was just more powerful putting a Black woman at the forefront because they're so marginalized in this space. So it was just about empowering Black women, essentially. And then also, I just like a challenge, so the idea of it just sounded more interesting to me, because initially when I was planning, I was going to have it as a young Black teen. But then I was thinking, you know, let me kind of challenge myself by writing this, because not only would it be a challenge, but maybe it'll allow me to further understand, you know, what Black women go through as a result. So as I was writing it, I was trying to be cognizant of the conversations I was having with the Black women in these spaces, not specifically computer science. Some were computer science, but just some were electrical engineering. Just having conversations with the things that they go through in order to work on my empathy with that. So that was the whole purpose of making Nia a woman character, because, you know, I wanted to empower Black women as best as I could. And it was about, you know, accepting the challenge. And then your second question was about blending of YA and self-help, the challenges I had, or what was the question?
Yeah, like what was the biggest challenge trying to blend the self-help and YA, and like kind of how did you get through that?
Okay, so first and foremost, I'll say that I got through it through believing in myself. And I say this because the book is split into three parts. There is the spiritual phase, mental phase, and physical phase. And the spiritual phase happens to be belief, which is, you know, believing in yourself. If you believe in a higher power, you know, prioritizing your relationship with God, Allah, whoever you, you know, preach to. And yeah, so pretty much believe is what got me through it, because I bet on myself. I knew that once I set my mind to it, I was going to do it. But obviously, even though I believed in myself, there can be challenges. So the challenges were just trying to be authentic with the whole thing of Nia. That's why I wanted to expose myself to different, you know, Black women, having conversations, and not even just having conversations with them in real time, but just paying attention, watching different interviews of Black women and their struggles. And another huge challenge, I guess, is because it is split into, because of the spiritual, mental, and physical phase, that follows believe, plan, and execute. Those are three step processes. And the execute, which is a physical phase, was really challenging because it goes back to authenticity. I felt like I had a grasp on believing and planning, like in my own life. But then in terms of execution, that's like, you know, you got to do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. I felt like with the whole writing process, I wasn't as executory as I should have been. So it was like I was writing and saying, like, with from the dad's perspective, you know, you're supposed to execute and do this. And at the same time, it's like it was a strike for me because in my own life, it was like I was writing to myself, you know what I'm saying? So that was, I guess that was kind of like a mental, personal struggle. But the main struggle was trying to keep it authentic as I could with Nia's perspective. But at the same time, I knew that was for the greater good, because if I just did a blackmail, you know, it's still powerful, but it's more powerful if I make it a black woman. I want little girls, young girls to pick it up and be like, oh, dang, you know. Look at Nia over here. She's this, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I could do it too.
I'm with you. And okay. I personally, like, as a black woman, I appreciate the fact that you actually, like, did your research and talked to black women about it and just didn't make assumptions, because that's something that as writers, especially when you tackle the genre of fiction, you kind of get in the mindset of, oh, I can just make this up. But the fact that you, like, went out of your way to be authentic to, like, your character and the struggles that she would actually face, it's like, that's appreciated. And that's something that you pick up on when you pick up a book, you know? It's like that the author actually care about this character and who they were and the things that they would have to face. Or did they just, you know, put themselves in a position of like, oh, I can write whatever I want, you know?
No, the book's gonna be out there for a minute. I don't need people checking me on all that.
Because they will, quick, fast, and in a hurry, be like, excuse me, sir, this is not what happens in real life.
Yeah, definitely. So I definitely tried to do my homework.
Well, I've kind of been running my mouth, so sorry, Ashley.
You're fine. I did have a question. So I do remember your author read from last time, and it was specifically Nia's conversation with her brother. And I wanted to ask you, why was it important to put that in there, to have her be specifically speaking to him at that part?
So, from what I remember, I don't think this is considered a spoiler, that her brother dies, I said in the summary. And it was important because they had like a little, I don't remember what specific part I read, but from what I remember with their relationship, they have it's like a love-hate relationship between the both of them. Like, they'll joke around with each other type stuff. And it was a flashback of Nia remembering her brother, because her brother passed away. And it was due to not establishing a relationship with money. One of the activities in the book is establishing a relationship with money. I could talk about this topic forever, but just, you know, how debt has people losing their sleep, that kind of thing. So just the fact we need to establish a relationship with money. But back to the question, it was important for me to include that conversation because I wanted to really show what Nia lost and how blessed she felt when her brother was alive. Like, they joke around with each other, but at the end of the day, they really love each other. So the fact that she was flashing back to that moment shows that she was really hurt. And in the book, I don't want to say this too much because it's kind of part of the story, in the book you'll kind of really see the relationship, the effect of, you know, the relationship that they had on her because of his death. And yeah, the purpose of it was just showing how closely knit they were, and that just being stripped away from you, you know, someone that, like, one of the only people that you really cared about in the world, and that person just stripped away from you. And just reminiscing on those innocent moments. And I don't know if I got to the part where, you know, stuff like actually happened, but just seeing how that could be taken away from you immediately.
Hi, everyone. We hope you're enjoying this interview with Michael Benjamin as he talks with us about his book, The Power of Yet. He is giving away a signed copy of his book to one lucky podcast listener. So if you'd like to enter the giveaway, there are three simple steps to follow. First, follow both Written in Melanin and Michael Benjamin on Twitter or Instagram at Written in Melanin and Mike, M-I-C-H-O, Benjamin. Second, on either of our Instagram pages, like the post about the giveaway. If you're entering on Twitter, then like and retweet our pinned post. This past weekend, we lost Kobe Bryant and his daughter in a tragic plane crash. We send our condolences to his family and friends, and to honor his legacy, the third step of entering the giveaway is to leave a comment on the pinned tweet or the giveaway post with the hashtag Mamba Mentality. All right, that's it. The giveaway will be open until February 14th, so make sure you head over to our social media so you can enter to win a free copy, and make sure to share this episode with the book lover so that they can enter to win too. All right, back to the podcast.
Yeah.
This sounds like, you know, the power of yes, like, not only, like, you have, of course, you have the financial literacy part, but as far as, like, the YA part, it's about Nia coming to terms with, you know, not only herself, but, like, the things that have happened to her. And, like, embracing it to move forward. That, like, I know I say this a lot, but I genuinely love stuff like that, because it's just like, when you're specifically a teenager, it can really seem like everything in life is such a huge deal. Like, it legitimately feels like the end of the world. So I'm really glad that you added into the book, like, life happens, things happen, but you can still move forward. And that is not a reason to deter you from your goals, you know, and to, like, keep moving and to pursue your dreams and pursue your passions, especially, like you said, since Nia is pursuing a career where Black women are not prevalent in it. Like, she's going to have an uphill battle, and she's choosing to climb that hill anyway. So I'm glad that you wrote a book like that and that it's available, because, like, I can legitimately think about three people off the top of my head where I'm like, if Christmas hadn't just passed, I would probably think about getting this for you. I ain't got no money, but I would have recommended it to you. So I think that's amazing. Are you planning to write more books along the vein of The Power of Yet, or, like, maybe a completely different genre?
Oh man, this is a question I get all the time. I get asked this more than what is The Power of Yet about. But I'm like, this book, it ain't even been out a year yet. Let's talk about The Power of Yet. But in terms of The Power of Yet, in terms of, like, more books along The Power of Yet or completely different books, I'll just say that it seems like The Power of Yet is standalone. But in terms of other books, there might be some other stuff in the works, but it's like, I'm constantly writing, but I don't know what's gonna come out. The Power Yet isn't the first book that I wrote. There's like completely other works that, you know, just never came out. You know what I'm saying? So I can't really say, but I could just say that I try to write consistently. So writing consistently, it could mean The Power Yet sequel. It could mean a completely different book. It could mean no more books, because maybe I won't be satisfied with it. You know what I'm saying? So that probably didn't really answer nothing, but that's my answer.
I was thinking, I'm like, that was a really expert way to dodge that question. Impressive.
Like, maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Right. It's a maybe. It's a possibility.
It's a possibility. Anything's possible.
And that's the whole point of the conversation. Anything is possible. It's just your mindset that prohibits, that limits you.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, again, Ashley, I am giving you the opportunity to talk, because I realize that I have been, like, kind of...
No, it's fine, because I've been listening to your questions, and then I've been thinking of questions, and you always ask the question that I was going to ask. So I'm getting my questions answered.
Well, then... If that's the case, I'm going to just keep going then. I know that you said to write consistently, and that's what you're, like, trying to do for yourself. Do you have any writing advice for someone who is maybe, like, a new writer or thinking about, like, taking the dive into authoring a book or like advice for your younger self? Anything like that?
Yeah, so I got advice for, you know, anybody that's writing a book or my younger self to write a book before. I would say, well, this might not apply to everybody because I don't know what the term is. I've been seeing it. I think like where you plan or don't plan. I think I've seen something about like a pantser or something. Are y'all familiar with
platter or pantser? Platter or pantser, yeah.
Yeah,
whatever that is. So I'm gonna talk about the one where you make a plan. Which one is that one?
The planner. Yeah.
Okay,
it's a platter. It's whether the platter is if you like outline and you know what you're doing ahead of time, and pantser is I just start writing and see where it takes me.
Yeah, okay, like go by the seat of your pants.
No, I don't like that. Okay, so the plotter, the one that plans out, I would say definitely outline. That's one of my recommendations. Definitely outline, because with the power of yet, before I actually started writing, I outlined most of the chapters. I outlined the plot storyline. I outlined the character profiles. How tall is this person? What does this person look like? What are their mannerisms? What is this? What is that? You know, that kind of thing. So definitely have your plan. Overall, I would say my three-step process that I say that you need for achieving anything, I would tell my younger self, I would tell anyone that's writing right now. And this is, these are three principles I say of my business that I founded Golden One Dream. So the three-step process is believing, planning, and executing. You might have remembered I said earlier, like I said, believe is, you know, spirituality, plan is mentality. You're having plan A through Z, having multiple plans. And then executing is, you know, you doing. So just remembering that in order to finish the first draft, because the first draft is obviously going to be the worst draft, you want to remember to believe first, believe in yourself first that you can do it. Plan it out. Plan out your outline. If you're the one that doesn't do all that, at least have that belief in yourself and bet on yourself. And then, you know, you just got to execute. And then for people like that talk about, writer's block, that kind of thing, I would say just be cognizant of your life experiences, because I try to get inspiration from anywhere. So this interview right here, I could write a chapter of a new book on it just based off of, you know, what we've been talking about, Black woman representation, that kind of thing. So I would say be conscious about living, you know what I'm saying? Because it'll really tap into your subconscious mind, whether you think it or not. So if you're conscious about your experiences, like, okay, let's say I get off this interview, I go to the store, I'm analyzing people, that kind of thing. Not staring at people in a weird way, but just analyzing, you know, what's going on around me.
People watching.
Yeah, in a respectful way. Consuming different stuff, anime or something, or just different shows, you know what I'm saying? I think you'll really get out of that writer's block thing. So that's just for anyone that's dealing with writer's block. I was just cognizant and conscious of my surroundings.
I like that. Like, the thing that stuck with me was like, be conscious of living. And I feel like that in and of itself is like such a powerful phrase, because like, it's very easy to just fall into the rut and routine of life, to like get up, get dressed, go to work, do what you gotta do, come home, eat, chill, go to sleep, repeat, you know? It's like when you're conscious of what you're doing and you're conscious of how you're living your life, like the people who are conscious of what they're doing with their life generally are the ones who are doing the things that other people say, oh, I wish I could do that. And it's just like, it's not something. Let me just say this. Everybody comes into this world the same way, you know?
Yeah.
And we all start at like base level zero, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you just have to be conscious of the decisions that you make for yourself, and also be conscious of where those decisions are going to take you. So if you want to be a writer, it's like, that's cool, that's great. But like, be conscious of what you're aiming for so that you can actually make decisions that are going to take you where you want to go. And being aware of not only what you want, but the steps of how to get there. And like Michael said, like believing in yourself and then making a plan and then following through on the plan. Like that last step, I'm sure, is probably the hardest step, because it's easy to talk about things. It's easy to want things.
Yep.
It's very hard to actually do things, you know?
Yep.
But we're in 2020 and people got to realize your plan is like your vision. So a vision without execution is hallucination. So if you don't execute upon that plan, you're literally hallucinating.
Yeah. And the thing that gets me, and this is just kind of like a side topic, kind of a low key rant, but whatever. Like when people are so excited for the new year because it's January and they're excited for like all of a week because they're like, it's a new year, it's a new me. And I'm like, okay, are you doing anything different? Have you made plans to do anything different? Are we actually doing anything different? No. So it's just another day. It's just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. Like right. The date changed, but did you, you know? Mm. And it's just like, if you are really doing stuff different, I applaud you. But I guess for me, because this used to irritate me so bad, obviously I'm not like dumb. Like I realize that the new year comes around, but for me, I always consider the new year like around my birthday, because that's a new year for me. Like I'm literally entering a new year of life. So it's just like, that's how I see it. But also like, if you're going to make changes, like the days of the week just repeat. They're not significant in any way. You know, like Monday is going to come back around. So you don't have to wait for a specific date or a specific time or a specific month to start making changes and to change your mindset, to change your actions, to change what you're doing. So like today is Friday. You want to be an author? Well, guess what? You can start today. You can get your computer out, sit down and start typing. Guess what? The moment you start just make a conscious decision to write a book and you actually follow through with that, you become a writer. It's not when you publish your book. It's not when people start reading your work. It's not when you've got the best book out in the world. It's not when you've gone through a ton of editing. It's when you actually make the decision to sit down and do something and then you follow through with the plan. I don't know why I'm ranting. I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to just chill.
They're not ready for this conversation.
It's just, in my personal life, I have been interacting with people who say they want to do things. And then I'm like, okay, cool. Let's make a plan. Let's make it happen. And then they're just like, yeah, no, I'm going to go at my own pace. And I'm like, you've been going at your own pace for like 5-10 years, homie. Mm-hmm. Like, when are we going to put some gas behind this network?
And I think sometimes it gets overwhelming and I think that's why people like saying, oh, it's a new year. It's always a chance to have a blank slate, because sometimes it's like, yeah, I want to change. Yes, I want to do these things, but it's so hard because it's so much. Like I have bills and I have kids. I have a family. I have this, all these things. And it's like, you get so overwhelmed that it's hard to make a plan, because you're like, these are all the things that I have to do and all the things I want to do. Mm-hmm. And it's comforting just to, like you said, you have to be conscious of living. For some people, it's very comforting just living day to day, just getting through. Like I made it through the day and I don't have to think about it, because if I think too far ahead, then it becomes stressful. Then it becomes, well, what if I can't pay that? Or what if this happens? Or what if that happens? So yeah, I think a lot of times that's why people love the new year and it puts so much emphasis on the new year, because it's always a chance that this time will be better.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it's one of those things where it's like, I 100% understand where you're coming from and I agree. And it might just be because of things that I'm dealing with, like, in my personal life, but like at this particular moment, I'm just like, I'm so sick of when people give excuses, but then they want to also claim, oh, it's a new year, it's a blank slate, I'm just gonna do this. And also the whole concept of being overwhelmed is like, I get that. People get overwhelmed. It's a very real thing. But also it's like when you want something, and I'm not talking about like a passing desire. I'm talking about like when you genuinely want to accomplish something, that becomes something that you put steps towards. And every goal, no matter how large it is, can be broken down into smaller steps, whether that's a week from now, a day from now, an hour from now, 20 minutes from now. Everything can be broken down into smaller steps. And when you're really determined to do something, then that's when you follow through with it. And I guess personally, I'm just like, if you want to talk big and you want to say you want to do things, I'm fine with that. But also like follow through with it. And if you're not, just own up to that, you know. Don't sit here and be like, oh, well, I have this and oh, well, I have that. And it's just like, and I say that because it's like, yeah, I get like you have a life. Everybody has a life and everybody deals with things differently. But it's also one of those things where it's like, again, when you really want something, you make it happen. Like if you're hungry, like you are legitimately hungry, you're going to find some way to feed yourself. You're not going to just sit there and be like, oh, well, I'm hungry. Somebody will come along and do this, or it's too late, or I can't. Like, no, you have a need and you want something and you need this thing. And in your mind, you perceive it as something that you need. So you're going to make it happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And I guess that's why people equate certain desires to be a hungry for it. Because if you're not hungry for what you want, if you're not hungry for your goals and what you're trying to accomplish, then you're never going to get there, because you're going to stay comfortable. You're never going to push yourself outside of your comfort zone. And again, if that's who you are, I'm not bashing you. I'm not mad at you. I'm cool with that. My thing is, in everything in life, just like own up to it. If you say you want to be a writer, but you say that you don't have time to sit down and write, it's like, okay, that's cool, but like, don't say that you want to be a writer. And the reason I say that is because like, you have pen and paper, you have crayons, you have markers, you have cell phone, you literally have technology at the edge of your fingertips. You could take 5 minutes every day when you sit on the toilet in the morning and write something, because guaranteed you're not doing nothing else during that 5 minutes. Not where you can get up and move around anyway. So it's there's always an opportunity. And I say that because it's just like, you hear stories of people who are like legitimately busy. And I say legitimately, not to take away from anybody else, but just like, you know, you have people who work full-time jobs. They have to take care of a sick parent. They've got like 3 kids they have to juggle, and all of them are in like 5 sports. And then they also cook dinner and spend time with their families, and also carve out time for like to start their own business and also carve out time for themselves. And it's just like, no, everybody's not Superwoman or Superman, but like, if in my mind, and I guess this is just my mindset and I'm pushing it off on other people, but I'm just like, if I don't have to do that much and they can do it, then why can't I? You know, it's like, me taking a nap is not nearly as important as me doing what I need to get where I need to go. And if that nap is more important, then I've made a conscious decision that what I want isn't nearly as important as me being comfortable. You see what I'm saying?
Makes sense.
And again, I don't know where this rant came from. I'm so sorry.
That's what happens when you get around a mindset speaker.
I'm just at a point.
I be saying. Yeah, no, you're speaking facts. That's real.
I don't know, but it's just like when I turned 25, I just really hit a point and I'm like, okay, so we're really coming up to a point where like one day I'm going to wake up, Lord willing, and I'll be 30. So it's just like, if I have 5 years to do something with my life, and when I get to 30, am I going to look back and be like, oh damn, I really wish I had known that or done that or put forth effort when I was younger? Because you know, you never know what life is going to bring. You know, things could be good today and they could be rock bottom.
Let me tell you.
Tomorrow or next week.
Let me tell you.
You know?
I've been through a couple of those moments.
And then you look back and be like, what was I doing though? Like, why was it so important for me? Okay, and I say naps because like, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to just be honest. I like to sleep. I sleep a lot. And I know that I do. And before I started Written in Melanin, like the amount that I slept was, I'm just ashamed to put the number out there. But let me just say, I was asleep more than I was awake. And I was one of those people saying, oh, I want to do this. And I want to do that. And then I turned 24. And then I was talking to my husband about it. And he was like, okay, but what have you done? And it's just like, oh, but what have I done? And then that's when it hit me. It's just like, oh, I'm just like everybody else. I'm talking about things and I have all the time in the world and I'm just making up excuses. Because it's just like, when you make that decision that what you want to do now is more important than where you're trying to go, then that, again, that's cool. Just own up to it, you know? Yeah. Because when I had to face myself and be like, okay, so like I really have time and I can really do this and there's nothing stopping me except for myself, then you really put, when you put it on yourself like that, it's like, is this something that you really want to be responsible for in the next 5, 10 years? Look back on yourself and be like, but why didn't I? You know, that's part of the reason why, you know, I'm here trying to do this today, because it's just like, if nothing else, even if everything fails, bombs, completely burns to the ground, when I hit 30, I'm going to be like, I did everything that I could, you know? Like, it wasn't because I didn't try. It wasn't because I didn't put in the effort. It wasn't because I was sleeping my life away, you know? It's going to be something out of my control.
You know, I always forget how the age difference between us, because you're like 5 years and I'm like, wait, I'll be 30 in 2 years. Not even. I'm like, wait, I got to have my life together in 2 years. That's all I got.
It's like you feel that time. And I'm not saying you have to have it together by 30. I'm not. And if you're over 30, I'm not saying that you have to have your life together. Because at the end of the day, nobody has their life together. It's all an illusion at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. However, it's just one of those things where you want, for me, I can't speak on nobody else's truth. For me, I just don't want to look back and be like, I wasted my time. Because you can make bad decisions with your money and get that back. You can make bad decisions with your family and make amends with them. If you make bad decisions with your time, that is just gone. You're never going to go back to 20 and get to do your 20s over again. You're never going to get to go back to like 30 or a teenager. You're never going to be able to do that. And it's just like, even when I get to 30, there are still things that I want to do. Like, there are levels to what I'm trying to accomplish. Yeah. So if I don't put in the work to get the groundwork laid, I am never going to get to step 2, step 3, step 4. So even if I want to be a certain place by the time I'm 50 or whatever, if I'm not doing what I need to do now, I ain't never going to get there. You know,
see out here preaching. This has turned into a sermon.
I'm so sorry. Like I said, I'm not trying to preach to anybody, because this is not even about me. This is about Michael and his book, The Power of Yet, which if you're listening, you really should go get it, because I haven't even read the book yet and it is changing my life and I feel motivated. Hey,
man, the principles are making you more. You're motivational speaking right now. I think too, with the whole 30 thing, like, you know, I'm saying I got to have everything by 30. I feel like that's just a whole societal thing tossed on us, because when we look at some of these big actors and all that, some of them ain't even break until like they were 40. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
true.
Everyone's on their own time, on their own time clock or whatever. But it's definitely, it's definitely good to be of that mindset, to know that I want to seize the day now, because I don't want to look back when I turn 30. But I think for anybody listening, I think you guys get it. I don't know if some listeners are super young that might be influenced. For anybody listening that might be swayed, like, oh, I have to have everything by 30, you got to realize some people didn't start blowing up until they were like 35, 40. So just make sure that you're cognizant of what you're doing right now. Make sure you're seizing the day. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing now.
And that's the thing, like, throwing out a disclaimer, for me, 30 was the number, just because I started when I was 25, like really putting in effort when I was 25. And I knew that whatever I wanted to do, I was going to go as hard as I could for 5 years and see where I got. And then when I got there, and that number just for me happened to be 30. If I had started when I was supposed to, I'd be looking back now, but like, I did. So it's just like, this is the starting point. So it's like, if I put in every ounce of blood, sweat, and tears into what I'm trying to accomplish for the next 5 years, then when I get there after that 5 years, I'm going to look back and evaluate, okay, did I do everything I could? Yes or no? And if I did, did it work? Is it getting me where I need to go? And it's not necessarily getting me to a specific point on the timeline. It's like, am I making progress? Because at the end of the day, I don't want to put in 5 years of effort and I'm on a treadmill going nowhere. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's more like a self-evaluation thing. Like, you have to be conscious of who you are and what you're trying to do and where you're trying to go and decide that for yourself. Like, no one else can decide that, because if you're 16 and you're listening to this and you're still in high school, like, you might not even know what you want to do with your life at this point. And that's fine, you know? But also, it's like, you could be 50 listening to this podcast and you still might not know what you want to do with your life, or you want to take a completely different path. That's fine too. You know, you just have to know who you are and, you know, your truth. And my biggest thing is just like, own up to it, whatever it is, you know, if you can. But that's my two cents. Spend it how you like or not at all. You know, that's on you. But yeah, so see, preaching is over and I'm going to let Michael and Ashley talk and I'm going to just take a back seat.
I mean, what do you even say after that? Like, I don't know where to go after I think you said all that needs to be said.
Well then, okay. Well, if we don't have any more questions, then Michael, there is something specific. Michael, can you please tell our listeners where they can go purchase The Power of Yet?
So The Power of Yet can be purchased on Amazon, as well as it could be purchased on my website where I have signed copies. My website is Michael, MichaelO, Benjamin, BenjaminTPOY. MichaelOBenjamin.com/TPOY. So you can get a signed copy there. You can watch my NBC News TV interview. I was on live TV talking about the book. There's also a book trailer over there. So there's a couple goodies on that website right there. But if you're an Amazon person, you got Amazon Prime, you know, you can go ahead and get it on Amazon, although it won't be a signed copy. So if you're into the signed stuff, you know, you can get it on my website. And yeah.
Okay. So that's everything, you guys. I will put links to both his website as well as where you can purchase his book on Amazon in the description box of wherever you're listening. I'll also put links to all of our social media because we're awesome people. So, you know, you're going to want to follow Michael Benjamin and Ashley D and C.E. Benson and the podcast and Brittany and Melanin as a whole. Just follow everybody. Okay. And yeah, that is it for this episode of the Written and Melanin podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening to us talk, preach, give motivational speaking. And until next time, we hope your days are lovely and your books are interesting. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.